on the Army Sports Network from Learfield. This is Army Black Knights Hockey, brought to you by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Welcome to the Bud Light pregame show. Now, here's Nikolai Busco.
From the United States Military Academy, welcome to the Army Sports Network pregame show, brought to you by Bud Light, proud partner of Army, West Point Athletics. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. I hope you enjoyed Thanksgiving, but if you're a fan of the Detroit Lions, then I don't know what to tell you. We thank you for joining us on Small Business Saturdays. Army takes on number 18 UMass here at Tate Rink. For the Cadets, they just want this 9-game winless streak to end. They've lost 6 in a row, and it feels like each loss has its own distinct flavor, almost as if you hope they start running out of ways to lose games at this point. On Tuesday, Army sought to put singing first here last Saturday behind it. Air Force won in overtime to take 5 out of 6 points on the weekend after Army went 3-0-1 against it last year. With Bentley in town, the Black Knights had a familiar opponent. They had taken a couple of points from those other Falcons over 2 well-played games earlier in the month. Army on Tuesday opened the scoring early the second period with Stephen Willey's second cadet goal over 3-plus seasons. But Stephen Castagna tied the game late in the second to set up the old adage, win a period, win a hockey game.
Army trying to clear near side. That's taken by Forcilius. Far side now is Army. We'll pick it up. Far side to center. Coming it back in is Kiefer. Into the corner it goes. Far side, Hellady. Looks to make a play. Far side along the wall. Still has it, but he lost it. And Army bring it back. Kiefer. Below the right dot, down to the corner. Kiefer looks to reverse it. Right point, Bell. Towards the goal. It is blocked and a breakaway. Here comes Goodbrand. Left circle. Forehand. Score! He stuffs it in. He pulled a cup of different moves and got it in past Cataldo. And with 4:07 left in regulation, Owen Goodbrand has given Bentley a 2-1 lead.
John Bell did not make a poor choice, but Owen Goodbrand blocked his shot and pulled an A-level move at the other end of the ice to get the puck past J.J. Cataldo. A short time later, Army received its 6th power play of the game and did not register a shot. An empty netter from Ryan Mansfield gave Bentley a 3-1 win. You may remember that Army lost 9 in a row last year. This team is winless in 9, but it has not had the embarrassing loss that last year's team did against AIC that served as a wake-up call. This team can still end the first half of the season on a positive note, but with 2 games next week at Sacred Heart and games the following weekend at Dartmouth and UVM, it needs to make progress today. UMass last Thursday picked up a 2-1 win in overtime at then number 16 Providence. But it followed that up by surrendering 4 goals in the 3rd period at home on Sunday as it lost 5-1 in a rematch with the Friars. Minutemen head coach Greg Carville looked disappointed after the game.
We weren't playing a great game, but it was 0-0 near the end of the second period and made a poor fuck decision to take an icing face-off goal. Came out in the 3rd and actually started playing. Got a great goal from James Dewar. Started to get some momentum. And then another queen kid, I think, walked right through our defense and scored, and things fell apart from there.
The Minutemen have an overall record of 8-7, but they're just 2-5 in Hockey East. They'll finish the first half of the season with 2 games at Northeastern next weekend. How did the Skating Soldiers spend Thanksgiving on post? Zach McKelvey answers that question and others when we return. From the United States Military Academy, this is Army West Point Hockey on the Varsity Network from Learfield. Welcome back to the Army Sports Network pregame show, brought to you by Bud Light, proud partner of Army, West Point Athletics. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Another entertaining hockey game on Tuesday, but another loss, and I thought that the play that John Bell made, shot was blocked, goes down the other way, the player makes a great move that was out of this world. That's not a bad play, I thought, but it has to be frustrating, Zach McKelvey, that the team is playing well, doing some things right, and still the wins are hard to come by.
Yeah, and I think the guys are probably frustrated. Like, we are playing some good hockey. We've had chances to win a lot of these games, actually, and we're just not scoring. You need to score 5-on-5, and you need to get more than one. And I could tell that after they had scored to tie the game up to make it 1-1, that our guys got deflated, and it's just a sign that we feel like we need to play perfect hockey to win. But if you can score 2, 3, and maybe add one on the power play, like, you build yourself in a nice cushion where you can make a mistake.
So the team lost 9 games in a row last season, winless now in 9. Any similarities between the two?
Well, I think the similarities is that our guys are sticking with it. You know, I think through this nine games, we've actually played better maybe than we did last year. And for whatever reason, we just broke out of it and we were a totally different team. But at least right now, there are signs that we can play winning hockey. We just have to get over that hump and we have to play with a little more determination and have that bigger will to win than the other team.
Second straight game, you had a power play, late regulation. This time didn't get a shot on net. What have you done with the boys the last couple of days to address that?
Well, I think they're all good players, and we didn't change the personnel, but they need to understand, like, when you're in those positions, it's a privilege to be in those positions. And, you know, good teams find a way to win those games, and we didn't do that. And so those five guys need to own it. The coaches need to own that. Like, we need to work on our retrieval intensity, our face-off intensity, because when you get moments like that, those are when good teams kind of shine.
Now, most years recently, the team has been on the road. They've had some great spreads. What was it like to be here on Thursday?
It was great. You know, we had Thanksgiving at the Thayer Hotel. We invited families. It's not something that we've done a lot here. So to, you know, have our families and just slow down a bit and break bread together was a nice little change up for our program.
You saw UMass last year. They're a bit grumpy. What has changed about them from last season? And what do you have to do to get a win here?
Well, I think they're really highly skilled. They got a lot of draft picks. They got a first-round draft pick. And I think, you know, for us, it's important that we play to our identity, and we're banging bodies early. We're getting hard on the forecheck. We make them go 200 feet. And I think we got to test their goalie. Like, obviously, their goalie is a really high-end draft pick, but we got to throw pucks on him and get around him and make him uncomfortable early. And like them, we should be really ornery too, and we should come out with a little fire in our belly and hopefully make it hard on them.
One lineup change I think will help with that. Jake Biron's going to get the start in net. How has this game evolved in the last year?
Well, we're really lucky. We have a couple good goalies, and Biro is going to get the start tonight. And I think, you know, a couple weeks ago, he got a start versus Niagara. We didn't give him any goal support, but he played really well. And he gave us a chance that had we scored, we would have had a chance to win that game. And so I think this is a big opportunity for him. Like, he's going to face some pretty high-end scoring chances, and he's ready. He's confident. He does it in practice every day. And like I said, we're really lucky to have JJ, Biro, and Gus on the back end there.
Next week is branch night. Any of the players showing signs of the jitters or nerves? I know a lot of the process has changed quite a bit since your days.
It has changed quite a bit. Now they do the interview process. It's a little more robust for sure. It doesn't go just off your rank. And so we haven't talked much about it. I think our guys are so focused on kind of righting the ship here and making sure that we start playing better hockey that it hasn't come up. But I'm excited for it. It's always a fun night when the guys branch.
Branch night's Wednesday. Hockey against UMass today. Coach, thanks for joining us. Best of luck, sir.
Thanks, Nick.
That's Army West Point head coach Zach McKelvey joining us for the Black Knights take on the Minutemen. When we return from this break, the director of Army West Point Swimming and Diving, Brent Nigro, will join us to talk about next week's star meet at Navy. It's Army West Point Hockey and the Varsity Network from Learfield. Welcome back to the Army Sports Network pregame show brought to you by Bud Light, proud partner of Army West Point Athletics. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. I've seen very few things on post more amazing than what I saw at Crandall Pool last year. For the first time since 1988, the Army swimming and diving teams swept Navy in the star meet. Next Saturday, the Black Knights will try to repeat that performance in Annapolis against the Midshipmen. Of all the coaching hires Mike Buddy made during his time as athletic director, Brent Nigro may have been the best one pound for pound because of what he has done with the program since arriving. We thank the director of Army West Point Swimming and Diving for joining us today. Can you believe the success you've had in the last 6 years?
Well, thank you for that. That was an awesome intro. I really appreciate that. What drew me to this place was the potential that I saw in it. And even though it had a rough streak of losing to Navy and not winning championships, there was something here that I knew we could build around. And actually, when I talk to recruits, I often refer to it as like a sleeping giant, where I really knew that West Point had the academics, it had the set you up for life, it had the service component, it had the rich history, the athletic facilities, really anything that you needed to build a great program, we had. And you know, when I came here, I saw that immediately, and so, we got to work, and it was a lot of work, and it was a lot of hard work, but it does not surprise me because, again, like I saw the potential, I saw the opportunity, and I'm just really proud of what we've done.
The women are 7-3 this season, men are 4-4. What have you liked this fall from your teams, and what can be done better?
Yeah, this year, so on the women's side, it's been an awesome start. It's we're kind of building off the momentum that we started a number of years ago, but we finally got to see it kind of pay off last year with the win over Navy, and some of the team records and some of those top level swims that and diving things that we were able to do. And this year we kind of picked up right where we left off. And a couple weeks ago we swam against Penn State and we got our first victory over a Power Four in decades, if not ever. I was trying to do as much research as I could to look back through the records, and I couldn't find a time that we actually beat a Power Four school on the women's side, which was awesome. And then continued that last week with the NC State invite. We're swimming really well. They're swimming with confidence. They know in a few weeks that we have our biggest tests thus far, and so we're not taking anything lightly. We're not getting ahead of ourselves. We're staying hungry because we know it's going to be pretty rowdy and intense down there in Annapolis. But no, I've just liked the leadership. I've liked the commitment to the process and the vision and sticking to it. Because again, like I said before, West Point is a unique place, and it's got a lot thrown at you academically, militarily, leadership wise. And then you throw Division I swimming and diving on top of it. It's a lot. And the team has really been able to stay grounded and take care of their bodies and take care of their minds and take care of their academics while not losing focus of what we're trying to do in the pool, which was awesome. And then on the men's side, again, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. That was just the women's side. The men's side, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, no, the men's side, we lost a lot to graduation last year. And obviously what we accomplished last year of scoring at NCAAs and winning our first Patriot League championship since 1991. But don't realize that was actually the first time we've ever beat Navy in a conference championship. Every other year that we won prior in the past, Navy was not part of the Patriot League at that point. So as soon as Navy joined the Patriot League, they just basically won, for 20 something years in a row. And so that was a big win for us. But it took a long time to build to that point, and we lost a lot of great cadet athletes and great humans and last year's graduating class. And so we have a much younger, more inexperienced team, but a very talented and hungry team that has a lot to learn. But we're putting the pieces together, and we challenged ourselves with one of the toughest schedules thus far in the season, swimming against. We swam against George Washington University. We swam against, Georgia Tech. We swam against Florida State. We've gone up against NC State. We've gone against Duke. I could keep going against the level of competitions that we challenge ourselves with. So I don't think the win-loss record really shows a true gauge of how good we are. But we do have a lot to learn. And again, just like the women will be a tough test, the men will certainly have a tough test come to Annapolis. And Navy brought in a very good recruiting class, and so we're getting geared up for that.
After you beat Navy last year, we had Johnny Crush and Andrew McCain stop by on the hockey broadcast. They have not had what I would call a sophomore slump. Thanks to those two and a few others, do you feel like your teams have the potential to be really good for a while?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're obviously a huge part of both the teams that we have here at West Point, but they're surrounded by other talented, hardworking young men and women. And then on top of that, we have, next year's class coming in is arguably one of the most talented that we've ever had. So the future is certainly bright. And those two, I sleep a little easier knowing that I have them for another 2.5 years here. So it's pretty good to know that. But they're great. They have had a great sophomore year, great yuck season so far. And we'll see where it goes.
A lot of this sport is mental. What do your teams need to do to go down there and replicate the great work you did up on post a year ago?
Yeah, well, we just have to realize that this rivalry is a two-way street. And, when we pack the pool here in Crandall and we bring all of our fans and we create this electric, intense atmosphere, they're going to do the same thing to when we go down there. And so we just have to be prepared for it. We have to know what's coming. And we have to realize at the end of the day, as long as we don't let that inside of our head, what we do in the pool does not change. It's the exact same races. It's the exact same event order. And our team has done a very good job over the last, I would say, 3 or 4 years competing without getting phased by being down there in Lejeune. I can tell you, after sweeping them last year, they are going to be upping the ante quite a bit, and so we're already going to be preparing and talking for that. This is probably going to take anything that we've seen down there to the next level, and then some. And so we're, you know, it's nerve wracking, it's exciting, but it's one of the coolest parts of being in the rivalry here, because not many places in the country can have this type of intensity with their swimming and diving teams, which is pretty neat.
Something special will happen before that meet, though. Branch Knight, if any of the firsties on your teams talked about what they're hoping and what anxiety they're feeling over those envelopes.
Yeah, well, we have kind of an array. Some talk openly right from the get-go, from their plebe year on, of what they want, and things don't change. And we have others that, you know, don't want to speak it out loud in case they jinx it. And so we have a range of people feeling all kinds of nerves, and but they're excited, and it's, in a way, it's kind of a blessing, because that's such a huge, awesome opportunity in their career here at West Point, and it's something that they can focus on for the next couple of days or next couple of weeks. That takes their mind off the stress of the Army Navy dual meet, and so I know they're excited for that, and we'll celebrate them as a team. We have a little tradition that we bring them to the pool and they reveal their branch, and then they do a big cannonball or belly flop or whatever they have you into the pool. So we're excited for that next week.
Never a dull moment with this program. Coach, thanks for joining us, sir, and best of luck next week, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Brent Nigro, director of Army West Point Swimming and Diving, his teams go to Navy next Saturday for the star meet and try to win both stars for the second straight year. We return for this break, recap both basketball games, and tell you why this afternoon's football game feels like a playoff game. Star West Point Hockey on the Varsity Network from Learfield.
This scoreboard report is brought to you by The Exchange. The Exchange, the benefits splits for tax-free savings at shopmyexchange.com/vets. Just kicking off a short time ago, the Braveheart Army team fighting for bowl eligibility. Army football visiting UTSA. Last week, the Black Knights gave up 12 points in the final 5 minutes of the game and lost to Tulsa on Senior Day 26-25. A win would have made the Cadets Bowl eligible and taken some drama out of this game. At Tuesday's press conference, Rich DeMarco asked Army head coach Jeff Bunkin what message he had for his team ahead of today.
Just to do our very best to improve, which is really our message each week, is to try to get better and play better than we did in the last game, and continuously try to do that throughout the year and hopefully be playing our best at the end of the year. Certainly, we're disappointed Saturday. I don't feel like we played our best. We missed a lot of tackles, missed some opportunities extend drives, put the game away. There were a lot of things that I felt like we could have done better and perhaps didn't do as well as we had done the week before. And so it's that challenge to improve and to play better. And we're going to have to. This is a great football team and very talented. And if we're going to have a chance, we're going to have to play our very best.
Regardless of how this game turns out, Army next plays in a fortnight in Baltimore against Navy at 3 o'clock. Will Navy play in the American Athletic Conference Championship game and then have to play Army for the Commander-in-Chief's trophy? We will find out later tonight. The midshipmen rallied in the second half on Thursday to win at Memphis 28-17. This victory gave Navy a share of the regular season title. However, for the Mids to play for the AAC title, they needed North Texas or Tulane to lose. On the Navy Athletics YouTube channel after the game, Mids head coach Brian Newberg acknowledged that his team had no control of the events over the next 48 hours.
Yeah, we need some things to happen, the likelihood of those things happening are probably not great. But we'll watch some football this weekend and see how it goes. But, we've done everything we can up to this point. Can't get the North Texas game back. Obviously, we'd love to have a chance to play those guys again. So we'll see what happens this weekend, and then we'll turn our attention where it needs to be turned.
Last night in Denton, North Texas took care of Temple 52-25 to book its spot in the title game. This is the first game for UNT since the news came that head coach Eric Morris had accepted head coaching position at Oklahoma State. After the game on the Mean Green Sports YouTube channel, Morris described his emotions as the clock ticked down last night.
I always try to take myself out of the situations because it's about our kids. I have my moments to play college football and be out there and compete with my brothers out there. And so for me, I love football. I love game planning. I love all those things. And so, you know, just staying in the grind with the guys that we've done all year, you know, in our building as far as game planning this week, has been, you know, like it's been all year long. And so, emotional for me, but, you know, now we earn the right to go play next week. We're back on a normal schedule. We don't have, you know, time to kind of sit around and heal up. I mean, it's next Friday. Next Thursday, we'll be getting on a plane or maybe coming here. And so we'll be able to tell that as they set everything up tomorrow. But yeah, just proud of our kids.
Tomorrow is now tonight. At 7:30, Tulane hosts Charlotte. No gentle way to say this, but Tulane is a very heavy favorite over a Charlotte team that has yet to beat an FBS opponent this season. At Tuesday's press conference, someone asked Green Wave head coach John Sumrall whether or not he had a hype speech to give for this game.
I'm out of hype speeches. Yeah, I mean, it's like, hey, near target. I've said, been saying it for weeks now. Nearest target, what is it? Charlotte, UNC Charlotte. Okay? I told our team, I don't want to hear about any records because nobody wins a game because of what your previous experience has been. Or previous success has nothing to do with future success. Look, this team was tied with North Texas at halftime, I believe. It was 7-0 versus UTSA at halftime. UTSA kicked our butt. So, look, just near target. No hype speech. Near target. Go play good football. I'm probably just like so hyper-focused on let's just get better.
If the Green Wave wins tonight, they'd host North Texas next week, and Navy will have the week off before Army. If Charlotte wins tonight, though, then Navy heads to North Texas next week. The college football playoff rankings have Tulane 24th. North Texas is unranked. Back on post, the Army men's basketball team hosted Manhattan this afternoon.
Six to go. Iverson up top to Bell. Bell's got a fire. Step back straight on three. We are tied. Jackson Bell finds the bottom. We're even at 66. Three-quarter court shot won't go. We've got overtime.
In a game that aired on the Varsity Network, Justin Rock described the end of regulation as the Black Knights' Jackson Bell forced overtime. Army beat the Jaspers 81-78 to win its second straight and improve to 3-6. This team hosts George Washington on Tuesday at 11 o'clock. As for the Army women, they received 17 points from Reese Erickson, but they lost to Eastern Kentucky this afternoon, 74-64. They dropped to 5-2. This team travels St. Peter's on Wednesday for a game at, you guessed it, 11 a.m. The Atlantic Hockey America standings in 60 seconds. The Atlantic Hockey America standings are brought to you by Bud Light, proud partner of Army, West Point Athletics. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Holy Cross at the top leaderboard with 23 points. Bentley has 22 points in second place and a game in hand. RIT has 19 points in third place, but it has played more games than the two teams in front of it. Air Force has 14 points in fourth place. Sacred Heart has 13 points in fifth place and a game in hand at Air Force. Canisius sits in sixth place with 11 points. Robert Morris sits in seventh place with just 9 points, but it has played only 5 games. It has games at hand on everybody. Niagara has 8 points in eighth place. Army has just 7 points in ninth place, but the bad news for the Cadets is they have played more games than every other team in the league. They've already played 11. Mercer sits in the basement with no points and an 0-14 overall record.
On the Army Sports Network from Learfield. This is Army Black Knights Hockey, brought to you by Coke Zero Sugar. Best Coke ever? Veteran shop tax-free for life at your exchange. Visit shopmyexchange.com to learn more today. Now with a call of the game, here's Nikolai Busco.
Today's starting lineups are presented by Stryker, foot and ankle partner of Army, West Point Athletics. For the Minutemen of UMass, University of Massachusetts Amherst, Benedict Gold to left wearing maroon. On defense, Lucas Olmstead and Colson Hanrahan. At left wing, Jack Musa. At center, Mikey D'Angelo. At right wing, Nick Van Tassel. In goal, Michael Robel. He is back and he is ready to go. 9 games this year, 6-3 with a 2-6-8 and a 9-11. For the Black Knights of Army West Point, the United States Military Academy, for the goal to the right, wearing white. On defense, Sam Grubner and Pierce Patterson. At left wing, Nils Porcelius. At center, Ben Ivy. At right wing, Brent Kiefer. And in goal, Nicolas Gandebout. Number one, Jacob Biron. Officially 0-1 with a 2-1-8 and a 940. Your referees are Evan Reddick and John Melanson. The linesmen are Cameron Carlson and Dylan Lewis.